Yeah. So, hello, welcome all. This conference call is being organized by Rakshak and 498A.org in collaboration with each other. This conference call actually is set up to get responses from a lot of NRIs all over the United States and in UK and Australia also, to bring to Government of India the attention about the escalating misuse of false 498A cases against non-resident Indians. It is a matter of serious concern that laws promulgated by the Government of India claiming to accord protection to women are being increasingly misused by unscrupulous ladies for deriving personal gains by ruining lives of NRIs and their families. We have Rakshak was started about 8 or 9 months ago by Bhavani. She is also in the call, and so far we have been contacted by about 500 people from outside of India, and a lot more people in India, and we have branches all over the world. We have helpline numbers, and we regularly get 15 to 20 calls every single day from people all over India. So I will open the forum to other people to bring their whatever points they want to bring to Government of India. I must say that at several points of time, the members of Rakshak and 498A.org have tried to reach Government of India by sending them emails, meeting with the representatives, meeting with the ministers. Most of the points we are discussing right now today, or will be discussing, are already brought in notice of government, the Counselor Generals of India at different places in New York, San Francisco, and other places. So the forum is open, guys. You can start by saying whatever you want to tell the Government of India.
Hi, I'm Bhavani. I'm the founder of Rakshak, and I would like to share my story and the request which I have for the government officials. I started Rakshak 9 months back after facing a 498A being filed against my family. And I would like to just give a very brief history and an overview of how it was done. I visited India last July 2005 for my mother-in-law's funeral, and my brother, who's living in Texas, and his wife had a marital discord, and she had abandoned him and left back to India with their child. And she refused to let him to visit the child. So, and after that, when I went back to India for my mother-in-law's funeral, she filed a false 498A with all the false allegations. And my mother and me, we were arrested and jailed for a week before we got bail as when my kids were left alone. And the legal system took a very long time. It took a very long time to get my passport and everything back and come back here. And my request to the government is should be some provisions made in the law for non-resident Indians and, of course, people staying here. I would really like the law to become bailable and compoundable, because there should be more investigation done before people are arrested, because there is a lot of social stigma attached to it. A lot of innocent people are really getting caught in this web, and in most cases, a huge sum of money is demanded before the case can be withdrawn, or in any case, it cannot be withdrawn. Even then, a lot of money led by the girl, and it's just right now it's being for extortion as far as NRIs are concerned. So I would really request the Government of India and other officials to make provisions for men who are also getting affected by this law, and men and their families, which involve a lot of other women like mother-in-laws and sister-in-laws and aunties and nieces, and who are really getting involved. And as I'm a founder of Rakshak, we have helplines all over, and I receive at least minimum 20 to 30 calls a week, and it's not only from America. I have received calls from Australia, Dubai, and so I would really, again, my kind request is just to look into this and make provisions and amendments to the law, and thank you, and other members will be joining in pretty soon.
Yeah, we would like to add another point over here. Is this dowry abuse law 498A is projected as a law that is woman favoring, but it is not at all woman favoring. It is a law that is made only for daughter-in-laws. With every single complaint that is filed, there are at least one or two women that are named and that are jailed without any investigation. That is the mother of the husband, or the sister or the sister-in-law of the husband.
Yeah. This is ridic. Basically, this law is against women. My mother was arrested by my wife.
Hey, Riddick.
This
is moderator.
She was arrested. At that point, I tried to contact many women's organizations, and they said they help only daughter-in-laws. So I started the organization Forgotten Women, because I realized there is not even one women organization that helps the needy women, who are the mothers and the sisters. So basically, this law is against the women. For every husband arrested, there is at least two women that suffers. My sister was having 1 month old baby, and the cop was so arrogant, and he was handsomely bribed, and she was arrested. So basically, this law is in the hands of few fortunate women who is giving the bad impression to the Indian judicial system as a whole. So we want to bring the Indian judicial system to proper limelight, to its old glory. So that's what I wanted to add.
Hey, Riddick,
my personal experience.
Riddick, can you, for the benefit of others, can you tell where this case was filed and where you are currently?
This case was filed in Delhi.
Okay.
And
where are you calling from?
I'm in New Jersey.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, this is Pagal calling. Obviously, for my case is sub judice, so I have to use a nickname, and I think that is the best one I can think of, because I am completely mad right now. In my situation...
Pagal, can you please tell where you calling from?
Yes, I'm calling from Houston, Texas.
All right, go ahead.
And in my situation, I was married about 3 years ago, and we had a marriage where we were together only for a year, after which the up, and she left back for India. And in my situation, it's slightly different, where 498A has not been applied yet, but has been consistently used as a threat for the last 2 years, right after she left. And the main purpose for using this has been for blackmailing and trying to extort money from my family and me. And they have succeeded in doing that for obvious reasons, because my family still resides in India, and I am not I'm not keen on putting their lives in jeopardy. But what my problem here is that whatever the aim was in enacting this law, the 498A, none of those goals have been served, at least in my situation. In fact, all the negative reactions have come up. I have not been able to feel safe at all in trying to go and visit India and talk to her family right from day one just because they threatened me with this law. And we have, due to that reason, we have never even talked about reconciliation. And the problem with this is that she herself is now suffering, and she is talking about coming back, but at the same time still asking for money. And in this confusion that is created, I am unable to proceed forward except for divorce and provide her the money. So my situation is I have a feeling that very soon, because the amount of money they are asking is changes every month, and I have a feeling that in a couple of months, they are going to apply 498A. So I'm just very discouraged on how our leadership can truly ignore the data that is coming out from so many different people, and truly see that this law is not helping joint families. Even if there is a disagreement, there is always room for reconciliation. But the moment anybody brings this law up, everybody feels unsafe, and there is no more room for reconciliation left, whether the law is applied or not. But just the idea that it is used as a threat is detrimental to any decent process. So certainly I stand with all women who are oppressed, but I can definitely say that this law is creating more oppressed women, and is certainly not helping any of the oppressed women that it is intended for.
Thank you, Fazal.
Also, can you give us the numbers they're asking for? Because I think it's very important, the amount of money that each NRI is being asked to give.
The first sum that started last year, it started at 5 lakh rupees. And then we agreed upon that, so it moved on to 10 lakh rupees. Then it moved to 15 lakh rupees. Then it moved to 20 lakh rupees. And now they are talking about 40 lakh rupees, which again, people are advising us that it is just difficult to negotiate if it's a moving target. So which makes us believe that 498A is coming along very soon. And in this situation, certainly she will not be happy, nor will my mother will be happy, nor my sister-in-law, nor my niece. And it will create a very legal mess, very big legal mess.
So I wanted to bring to everyone's attention is, what are the problems, what are the main problems with 498A? 498A was designed to protect women, and it is a cognizable, non-compoundable, and non-billable offense in which police does not have to look for evidence before arresting the people who are accused. And unlike any other law in the world, this law allows arrest and jail without any proof. So women are using this law and accusing everyone they can think of in the husband's family, and the moment they say these were the people who were harassing her without any proof, the police has to arrest the whole extended family and put them in jail. And this has become so common that the moment you talk to anyone about this kind of a thing you are going through, everyone have one or the other case they have to offer to you, saying that, oh, this thing happened with someone he knows in his family. Now, how does it affect the NRIs? NRIs are very soft targets. They are very gullible. Because of their position and the status in the society, they have a little bit more money than other Indians of the same age, I would say. So what is happening is, like, other marriages, NRI marriages also have problems. They also go through arguments. But the moment these arguments or all these things start, what we have typically seen in our counseling sessions is woman actually leaves the home country, which is maybe UK, US, Australia, Canada. They go to India. They go over there on the pretext of visiting their family. Then over there, they actually put this 498A, and the police promptly goes and arrests the parents of the husband. The husband is in the foreign country. He has no resort but to come to a talking terms or negotiating terms so he can, the husband can save his own father and mother. And that's when all legal mess starts. The one point that has been all this time frustrating is, if the woman had any problem, why didn't she go to the authorities in the country she was living in? Many a time, the FIR says that the woman was beaten, was thrown out of the house and all those things in the foreign country. Now, there is a lot of aid and lot of help that is available in US on the call of one single call. And what happens is, woman makes all these false allegations saying that she was done this and that in different country, and makes use of all those things, all those false statements, and put everyone's life in danger in India. So the NRI is basically NRI becomes the accused. He has to say that he did not do all these things. So one thing is, they are actually changing the jurisdiction. They did not use all the help and everything available in the US or UK or wherever they were from, and they go to India and make use of this really draconian law and start making their stories. Now, anyone else would like to shed more light on this?
This is Chris here. This is really looked down upon in the U.S. judiciary. They call this as forum shopping. You know, wherever you get favorable treatment, you run over to that place and start filing those allegations, because in the place where it occurred is the right jurisdiction. But because they know that the false statements are taken very seriously in most Western countries' legal systems, and they are subjected to what is called penalties of perjury that include imprisonment and fines, they do not dare to make those kinds of allegations in countries like US or UK or Australia. So this is strongly discouraged by many judicatures, because you have to really make use of the local laws where the incidents occurred, instead of going around to other places in what is called forum shopping.
I would also like to add something else. Hi, this is Bhagirath.
Go ahead, so, Bhagirath.
Yeah. See, as you said, they first go to home country and then file all these false allegations. And then they decide to come back here. And then again, they file either, some kind of, say, dissolution of marriage or anything like that here. So they can also, all NRI people or husbands, they will beat up at both ends.
Yes, and, I would also like to add, this is Pagal here, I would like to add a couple of thoughts also. My biggest problem here is that even in the recently enacted domestic violence law, I was reading that law, and I can assure you, I was a victim of all those definitions that were provided by the law. Economic abuse, that was it was happening on a daily basis. A very serious effort I was trying to make in terms of handling the budget of the house. And that was being challenged on a daily basis. And my problem is, all these situations it's very naive for the government or any other organization to tell us that it will be handled in an impartial and a just way in the hands of the Indian police. and the overburdened Indian judiciary. They certainly have their hands full, and I'm certain that they do not have patience enough to understand the complex issues that are involved in the marriage. And it almost seems like the judiciary is accepting, and the government is accepting, that the 498A is simply a tool that will be used by the women to bully the men and the man's family into submission. I can assure you that that does not call for a healthy environment for any marriage to survive, less flourish. More than anything else, I have been brought up on very liberal values, and I have been brought up on values that where I was supporting many of the women's movements. But certainly this has dampened my spirit, and certainly makes me think again before I encourage any completely ill-conceived laws, because something so ill-conceived, and I must say a very frustrated and tired attempt at solving women's issues by the National Commission of Women, it's very discouraging, because if our leadership, and if this is the best that they could come up with to solve the problems of dowry or to solve the problems of domestic violence, then I feel very discouraged, because all I can see this doing is increase the frustration and increase the fissures in an already burdened marriage.
I would like to, this is Satya, I would like to add over here is, when this domestic violence against women bill was passed, they mentioned that 96 other countries have the bill or the law for domestic violence, and India did not have. While I agree with that, but I don't think any of those countries have a law which is gender biased or that can be used only by one particular gender. If you are saying that a woman goes through emotional abuse or a physical abuse or economic abuse, exactly the same abuse is actually borne by the man also. So if you are saying that emotional abuse come in the ambit of a domestic violence, well, you must include men there also, because men also go through emotional abuse. So it is a totally nonsensical law that has been passed by Indian Parliament saying that in any marriage or in any domestic violence case, men does not go through those kind of abuses. Also, in recent judgment about a week back, I must mention today is 30th of December 2006. And about a week back or 10 days back, Supreme Court looked down upon the domestic violence law, saying that it is poorly drafted. This is exactly what Supreme Court of India had to say when they were deciding the case, that it is very poorly drafted, and a lot of people who are coming to us for help, they are saying that how can Indian Parliament pass this kind of a stupid and one-sided gender-biased law when they are saying that only women are... I mean, if you are saying that women are harassed more than men, we probably might agree with that. But if you are saying that men are not harassed at all, and that's why you are bringing this kind of a law, that is total bullshit. Anyone else want to add any point there for domestic violence law that is passed by Indian Parliament?
This is Chris, Satya. The narrative and anecdote here, I was talking to a lawyer friend, and I told him that in India you have these two laws called IPC 498A and Domestic Violence Act, and they are apparently held intravirous by the Supreme Court of India, saying it's not unconstitutional. He asked me this question, you know, if you, in the U.S., we have special provisions for minorities. That doesn't mean that, you know, your black neighbor can suddenly wake up one day and go to police station and file a false case on your white neighbor, and the police would come and arrest him without any questions, and then the case would start. That's that's not going to happen. And if that ever were to happen, that would be clearly unconstitutional, violating the fundamental rights of your of one citizen on the mere oral allegations of another citizen who is your neighbor just because he's of a different color. So just taking the same analogy, nobody actually is able to believe that such a law exists where on the mere oral allegations of one citizen, the entire family of another citizen is incarcerated without asking any questions, and then the process of the judicial process actually starts. And oftentimes the judicial process is so slow, the victims of this false allegation would like to quickly get out of them, extricate themselves from this process by yielding to the demands of the other side. So it's the way it is written is clearly suitable for misuse, and a lot of times I don't even blame the people who are misusing them, because when they seek easy money to be made from filing a false case, they'll go ahead and file the false case because there is no deterrent, there is no penalty for doing the same. So that is the problem for most of these victims of the false 498A cases.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. I would like to add over here is there was another such kind of a law in Indian Penal Code that was TADA, Terrorist Prevention Act, and Indian Parliament withdrew that act saying that there was a lot of misuse. And in that act also, that was for terrorists, in that act you can only arrest a terrorist without an investigation, not his whole family. Now, and 498A is more worse than that, because you are arresting the whole extended family of the accused without any proof and investigation. And Indian, the Indian Parliament withdrew TADA, saying there was a misuse, and in TADA you could not arrest the whole family. Now in 498A, they still have not withdrawn 498A and it's going strong, in which this is even worse than TADA, because the whole family suffers, not only you, and that too on mere false allegations.
Yeah, hi. Can I interrupt in between?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is Raghavendra from New York. And, basically, I had just very big questions in my mind when I started looking into whole of this problem. And I was, first of all, not aware that such a kind of law exists in India. And the whole thing, the biggest question which I started with was, how come, my wife was staying with me in UK in London for a year, and then she ran away. And there was, the marriage problem, so which was fine. But she goes away from UK. She lands up in India, and even after landing up in India, she is fine for the next 2-3 months. And then once she realizes that there has been some serious mistakes which has happened on her part, and the things are not moving in a proper direction, then she simply moves to the police station for the complaint. Now, the point which I want to bring up to the Government of India, and where I want to question Government of India, and I really want to do that straight away, is, do you think, does the Government of India think that the British investigation team or the British police is stupid enough not to be able to investigate what the issue was? Or do they think that they are much more capable of investigating a case, more than the Scotland Yard or the British police or whoever, the police in Western world? And I was pretty sure, if she had an issue, if she had a problem in London, she would have straight away went to the British police, and they would have very, kindly came forward and they would have done the investigation. But because of the fact there was no issues and there was no kind of, anything wrong in terms of, there was no physical violence, there was nothing like that. It was just a temperamental issue. And just because of having a temperamental issue, if you can place a something like 498A, then this is totally unjust, and this is not totally, you know, kind of acceptable from one human being point of view. Does the government of India try to say that all the other investigating agencies around the world are stupid enough and they are the most smartest agencies in the world? And my say to that is, I don't think so. They are the smartest one. I think they are the foolest one. First of all, they believe just on the words, so that's not at all the way how it should go. And second of all, they do not have any means to investigate what the real problem was, because they never come down to UK or US to investigate what the issue was. They just take the words as a, you know, as whatever she said. That's true. So that's not the right way. Either they should afford to send someone from India to that particular place, in my case London, to get it investigated properly. If not, then they should not come in between. Simple as that. And they should also understand and tell, you know, those kind of ladies who try and use this law in such a stupid way. And you know what? When you were staying in London, you should have better approached the British police rather than coming to India and filing up a case over here.
I understand, Raghavind. Thanks for your input. We will come back to you. We will take a short 2-minute break and we will join the forum. Thanks for all your comments and we'll be back in 2 minutes. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.